It is called by God's name. It has God's eye upon it. At any moment he may sweep the surface away with a purifying wind of his spirit. Before I left Bulgaria, Petrov and I drove up into the Rhodope Mountains, hoping to find Abraham. We had no idea how to locate his tent, only the name of the village nearest to it. It was just as well, for at the village the road, which had been threatening to disappear for several miles, vanished altogether, and we got out and stood, undecided, beside the town's artesian well. Above us the forest stretched away as far as we could see. Where in all that vast wilderness was the man we were looking for? The line of people at the well were staring at us curiously as they waited to fill their jars, and then the first man in line finished drinking, straightened up and turned around. It was Abraham himself. His blue eyes, when he saw us, blazed like the sky at noonday. The next thing I knew I was drowning in a mammoth wet embrace, the icy water on his great beard drenching me to the skin. Abraham was even more astonished than we at this unplanned meeting, for he told us he came to the village only every fourth day and just long enough to buy bread. He picked up half a dozen round flat loaves now from the stone wall beside the well and began leading us up the mountainside. Again and again Petrov and I had to beg this 75-year-old man to stop so we could catch our breaths. He had just returned the week before, he told us, from giving away the last of the Bibles I had brought into the country. He described in great detail how they had been received, and Petrov pantingly promised he would repeat it all for me as soon as we were sitting down. It was 2 hours, including the rest stops for us, before we rounded a rocky ledge, stepped behind a screen of wind-twisted pines, and were standing in front of the goatskin tent where Abraham lived. He looked more than ever like the biblical patriarch as he welcomed us to his home. In a moment his wife had stepped outside, as composed as though visitors were dropping into their mountain hideaway every day. She was as tiny as her husband was big, a slender, erect little woman with skin like wrinkled parchment. Only their eyes were alike, blue, childlike, trusting. I looked at this woman, who had once had a house replete with rugs, cupboards, linens, servants, probably, for they had been well-to-do, and I thought that I had never seen a face more content with what life had brought. She offered us fruit that looked like tiny blue blackberries, and wild honey. We ate little, not knowing how much they had, and we stayed only a short while because we didn't care to try the trip down the mountain after dark. The shortest of visits, no more than a glimpse, and yet in those moments was forged a friendship that is one of the bulwarks of my life. And so the visit to Bulgaria brought encouragement and deep love.